Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to your word and your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So is God always fair? What do you think? I suppose some of you are thinking, well, it sounds a little disrespectful to accuse God of not being fair, so we really shouldn't ask that kind of question. Others of you, maybe the same ones, are thinking, well, actually, there have been times in my life when it certainly feels that God is not being fair with me and my loved ones. And you may have heard people say when they're trying to cope with distress, they're saying, well, life is not fair, get used to it. And of course, depending on how we understand God's sovereignty and providence, saying that life is not fair may be the same as admitting that we actually suspect that God is not fair. So if something happened to you that you think is not fair and continues to bother you, you may think of the story of Job. It's pretty hard to argue that Job deserved the troubles and tragedies that he experienced. In fact, the story of Job seems to make it quite evident that he did not deserve the tragedies that befell him. And of course, this leads to one of the great paradoxes or conundrums of biblical faith. How can people who believe that God is loving also accept that the same God allows suffering? I think this is one of the most commonly cited objections and problematic aspects of biblical faith. However, just to be clear, this morning I will not be attempting to resolve this long-standing problem reconciling suffering in the world and the sovereignty of our loving God. My project this morning is much less ambitious, but it's somewhat related because it has to do with our ideas of what we deserve and what other people deserve or don't deserve. So I'm not speaking now so much about real suffering, but rather about our feelings of being treated unfairly. Have you ever felt treated unfairly? Has it ever happened to you? For example, you work hard and long and faithfully, and then you notice that others who don't work nearly as long and hard as you do seem to be getting all the blessings and rewards all out of proportion with the amount of effort on their part. Doesn't that seem unfair? Or suppose people around you are recognized and rewarded for nearly insignificant achievements, while your own very hard work and well-fought challenges are basically ignored. How does that make you feel? Now, regarding Jesus' parable of the vineyard workers, I suppose if you're like me, many of you will admit that you tend to be a little sympathetic toward the laborers who worked hard all day and then only received the same pay as those who only worked for the last hour. I admit, the first few times I heard the story, I found myself very sympathetic with their feelings. They'd worked hard all day only to see their wages made equal to those who'd only worked 1 hour. It just doesn't seem fair. When this parable comes up in Bible studies, often people say, yeah, it doesn't seem fair. We're sympathetic because we can identify with their sense of unfairness. A close friend of mine, sitting not that far away, often confesses that she's upset and her sense of fairness is offended when, for example, she sees things like somebody parking in somebody else's parking stall that doesn't belong to them. Sometimes she calls this OCD. But I think most of us can admit that our feelings can be triggered by this sense of unfairness. What do we often say when we see a bully picking on someone smaller and weaker? We say, hey, pick on somebody your own size. It's an interesting irony that we don't always have the same opinion when it comes to business dealings. It annoys me that often what passes for Christian leadership training is about emulating business leaders whose success comes from eliminating smaller and weaker local businesses in order to increase their market share and their profits, even if it costs the devastation of social and economic situations in local communities that they invade. We say we're against bullying on the playground, but we often fail to apply the same standard in the realm of corporate business. Now, I'm not going to say any more about that. That's one of the things that triggers my own sense of unfairness. But I think the reason most of us often feel strongly when things don't seem fair is because our sense of fairness is related to our sense of justice. Fairness and justice, I think they're related. And I believe we have a sense of justice because we are created in the divine image, and one of the ways we are in the likeness of God is in sensing that there's a difference between right and wrong. However, as the book of Job suggests, God is not accountable to us and the way we think the universe should work. And Jesus' parable about the vineyard workers suggests that God is also not accountable to our sense of fairness. Compared to the story of Job, Jesus' parable comes at the question sort of from the other side, from the opposite direction. Instead of people experiencing bad things they do not deserve, the workers in the parable are upset because others are getting good things that they don't think they deserve. Here's the point I'm trying to make. I want to suggest that justice and fairness are not necessarily the same. Perhaps similar, but not identical, and I hope we'll see that. These days we hear a lot about social justice, and this is an important prophetic tradition for the people of God to uphold. Important now, perhaps even more than ever, since it seems the fumes of biblical morality are fading away in our culture. But I'm not sure that much of the current rhetoric about social justice makes a clear enough distinction between justice and fairness. Perhaps Jesus' parable will help us see the difference between actual justice and our sense of fairness. Personally, this parable has been challenging for me because I was an early advocate for what we used to call women's liberation. We used to champion the slogan, equal pay for equal work. Equal pay for equal work. To me, it's obviously unjust and unfair that women doing the same job as men would be paid less just because they're women. But doesn't it seem that the owner of the vineyard in Jesus' parable seems to blatantly ignore the idea of equal pay for equal work? But is this what's really going on? We'll come back and look at this a bit more closely, but first, let's think a little bit about what we mean by equality. In our quest for a more just and equitable egalitarian society, equality has become one of our great ideals. Everyone should have the same opportunities, and everyone should be treated the same. That sounds good, right? Right? Are you out there? Okay, sounds good. But should everyone be treated the same? It seems that there's a paradox built into our popular notion of equality. There's a fascinating little short story by Kurt Vonnegut called Harrison Bergeron. Vonnegut portrays a future utopia where everyone is made to be equal through implanted technological devices. Equality is achieved by the government enforcing handicaps on people who are naturally more gifted or talented so that their skills never exceed the least gifted ones in society. Vonnegut shows that in our serious quest for equality, we may reach a logical conclusion, but it's not necessarily reasonable, because we see that if we cannot make the weak and less competent stronger and more competent, then the next obvious way to achieve our goal of equality is by placing handicaps on the most competent until we all have equal abilities. Well, I guess that's one way to achieve equality, but at what cost? Do we really want a society where everyone simply works and achieves at the lowest possible level? Is it actually unjust, wrong, and unfair that some people are stronger, more skilled, more gifted than others? So at first it sounds right that everyone should be treated the same, right? However, I think the concept of equality is just a bit more complicated. Here's an example of the paradox. In order to give people in wheelchairs equal access to public buildings, we install ramps. To get closer to that proverbial level playing field, we make special concessions for those who need them. In other words, we don't actually treat everyone the same because not everyone has an equal level of ability. So in order to achieve one kind of equality, we deliberately discriminate in another and treat people differently. Now, I realize this next statement will probably sound super simplistic. But I think the problem in our present society is not that there are different levels of ability. The problem is just basic selfishness. Many of us who have greater abilities and wealth are tempted to assume that we have been gifted with those abilities and resources for the sake of our own advancement and profit. Or as the Apostle James says, to spend it on our passions and pleasures. But suppose, can you try to imagine this? Suppose the real reason that some of us are stronger and richer is actually for the purpose of helping those who are weaker than we are. Well, that would be interesting. Here's the slogan I learned from my father. We will get closer to a just and fair society when our society expects to receive from each one according to their ability and expects to give to each one according to their needs. Don't you think that sounds kind of logical? Thank you, brother. Perhaps we might say, whenever the rich and powerful realize that the real reason they are rich and powerful is for the purpose of helping the poor and the weak. And I think when we see that realization, we might be able to say that we're seeing signs of the kingdom of God coming near. Now let's look a bit more closely at Jesus' parable. How should we feel about the apparent unfairness of that vineyard owner and their disregard for the principle of equal pay for equal work? Is this a case of injustice? No, I don't think so. In fact, the workers were not even grumbling about injustice because they had already agreed to work for the fair daily wage, and that's what they got. So there was no breach of contract. They were not deprived of their rights to get a full day's pay for a full day's work. So there was actually no injustice, right? The point of our old slogan, equal pay for equal work, was that people should not be paid less than the going rate just because they were women or some other group. But notice carefully in the parable, the workers who worked all day were not paid less than the daily rate they had agreed to. So what were they grumbling about? What were they grumbling about? Ironically, they were grumbling about equality. What did they say? They said, pointing to the guys that only worked an hour, they said, these last ones only worked 1 hour, but you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. It's just not fair. The thing that triggered their sense of unfairness was not unequal pay for equal work. Listen carefully now. The thing that triggered their sense of unfairness was not unequal pay for equal work, but rather equal pay for unequal work. Do you see the difference? Their complaint was not that they received less than they had earned or deserved, but they complained because others were getting more than they thought those others deserved. And doesn't that seem sort of common in our human nature? I think if we're honest, we admit we don't like it when people are treated as our equals when we think they don't deserve it. Ever since we were children, we tend to notice which one of us gets the biggest piece of pie. You may have caught yourself commenting on what other people deserve or don't deserve. But what is it that makes you think you know what it is that people deserve? The Apostle Paul asks, who are you to judge another person's servant? So if the problem is not injustice done to us, what is it that amplifies our sense of unfairness? Perhaps one reason we have trouble with the story is because it touches an area where we ourselves may be missing the mark. And I'm going to give you a name of a thing. See what you think. I mean envy. Have you ever experienced envy? Okay. Jesus' vineyard owner challenges the offended ones directly on this very issue. He says to them, are you envious because I am generous? Well, are we? Are we envious because God is generous? Are we tempted to think, but Lord, those people you're blessing, they don't deserve it. They're not as deserving as I am. And that can't be right. That can't be right. The theologian Thomas Aquinas noted that it is charity or love that rejoices in our neighbor's good, while it is envy that grieves over it. Coveting what we don't have can be simply greed, but coveting what others are getting adds envy to our greed. Now, I think in spite of centuries and millennia of Christian teaching that we are saved by grace, that we are not deserving or earning it, we're still tempted to think that if God was doing things properly, blessings should be allotted based on our works and our merits and our good intentions and our good behavior. And it would just not be proper for God to show mercy to those that we don't think are deserving of it. But God's mercy is not something that can be measured by whether or not we deserve it. Because by definition, grace is that which we do not deserve. Yet we continually seem to forget that grace means that which we do not deserve. John Stott says, the gospel is good news of mercy to the undeserving. The symbol of the religion of Jesus is the cross, not the scales of justice. And so when we complain that people who don't deserve to be blessed are actually being blessed, what are we doing? Looks like we're actually criticizing God's mercy, right? We're saying, God, we think you should be, it would be more fair if you would be less merciful. Come on, Lord. It'd be more fair. I think it'd be more fair if you'd be less merciful to those guys that I don't think deserve your mercy. But when we say that, then I think we're in danger of forgetting the Apostle James' warning. And he says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Jesus says, for the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So basically, if we want God to be less merciful and gracious to others, we are effectively calling for a similar reduction of mercy and grace for ourselves. You see the danger? Why do you think the world is in such a mess? Well, I'm pretty sure one major factor is not enough mercy. Not enough mercy. And so I think this parable is a marvelous illustration of God's freedom to be gracious far beyond what any of us merely deserve or earn. Plus, Jesus seems to be warning us that there's a good possibility that the way God dispenses grace may not seem fair to us. There's a good possibility that the way God dispenses grace may not seem fair to us. And so we should probably not be surprised if we struggle a bit with envy. And I wonder if there's something even a little deeper than just greed and envy. Is it possible that when we see God's gifts bestowed on another, We might fear that it means that we ourselves are not loved as much. We feel left out. Remember the older brother in the prodigal son story? He was envious because his undeserving brother was forgiven and welcomed back into the family. If God gives graces to people we don't think are deserving, perhaps the reason we are tempted to be jealous and cranky is insecurity about being loved ourselves. Do we need to be reminded that God is not an earthly parent with limited resources and distorted motives? The favor that God gives to one does not diminish the amount of favor available for the rest of us. The pie of God's mercy is an infinite pie. And so if one person gets a huge piece, there's no less for everyone else. We need not fear that God's love for others means less love for us. As Charles Spurgeon said, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than to diminish the great mercy of God. Not only this, but I think God is not so gauche as to try to buy our affection with blessings and trinkets. Plus, I think God loves us too much to want to reinforce any selfish, spoiled child syndrome by simply giving us whatever we demand every time we get fussy. I think we're being prepared for much more than this. Now, we often think that Jesus is preparing the kingdom of heaven so that when we get there, we'll all be comfortable. Right? Jesus is preparing a place for us. It's going to be great. But if we're going to be happy in that kingdom that Jesus is preparing, I think there's an even more significant preparation going on. It's not so much that the kingdom is being prepared for us, but rather we are being prepared for the kingdom. Are you being prepared for the kingdom? Do you see something going on? As the scripture says, we need to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how are you being prepared for the kingdom? Are you becoming more humble? Are you becoming more of a peacemaker? Are you becoming less envious? Because I'm pretty sure that if we don't get over being envious of others, we probably won't be very happy when the kingdom comes. So remember, we don't all need to be the same. We don't all need to be equal in our abilities and in our character in order to be equally loved by God. We don't need identical gifts and graces to have our own special opportunities to be channels of God's love in the world. Indeed, it is our very differences that allow each one of us to make our unique contributions to the world and help each other become the unique persons that we were created to be. Amen. God bless you.